Fear not, Homer. I am your spirit guide.
Are you?
There is a lesson you must learn.
If it's about laying off the insanity peppers, I'm way ahead of you.
No, I speak of a deeper wisdom.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Hello, welcome to a Six String Hayride podcast, a journey through the world of classic country music with your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. We will be covering all of the great topics in country music, from mama to prison, to dancing, to drinking, to guitar picking, to all the crazy deal with the devil, honky-tonking stuff you do on Saturday night, and how you try to get it past your Lord on Sunday morning. So climb aboard the cart, and let's go.
Started talking, made it plain to folks around. He was an Arizona Ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead, and he said it didn't matter. He was after Texas Red, after Texas Red.
Hello, friends and fellow music lovers. Welcome back to the Six String Hayride Classic Country Podcast with Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. Last episode was the 1990s, and we finished up this nice series looking at the decades in country music and popular culture. The time machine is back in the garage.
I tell you what. These police boxes, they're ever so good, aren't they?
It's kind of the end of an era, and what's going to happen next? When we left the 1990s, we had noticed that on the commercial side of things, we have George and Alan complaining about Murder on Music Row. They are really accomplices in the biggest way possible. Chris got right to the heart of the matter and said, look, it's crybaby millionaires complaining about something, you know, that they're up to their ears in. And yeah, that is the heart of the matter. And while that same thing is going on, we have Emmylou and John Hartford and Alison Krauss and Ralph Stanley and the Coen brothers making the film Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It's traditional music. It's a history of the music. You have Lost Love, you have Chain Gangs. It's everything that George and Alan wish they were at this particular point. We're talking about the spring of 2000.
As a matter of fact, Gay, it swung back to traditional now. There was a time when the urban cowboy craze was going around, and people in New York City were buying cowboy boots and country records, and they were grinding them out and overproducing them. But the business has swung back to traditional now, as it does about every 7 or 8 years, and it's bigger than ever before.
At the beginning of the 1990s, Johnny Cash is very successful doing live performances and tours around the world with the Highwaymen, with Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and Kris Kristofferson.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride.
I was a sailor. I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again, or I may simply be a single drop of rain, but I will remain. I'll be back again and again and again and again.
A quartet. They are selling tickets, they're selling albums, they are filling arenas all over the place. Johnny on his own is not doing it nearly as well. I was incredibly lucky. Between 1991 and 1994, I saw June Carter and Johnny Cash perform around the Chicago area four times. The extraordinary moments. Every single one of them. The very first time in 1991, again in October of 1992, Johnny and June are not playing in a theater or a ballroom or any kind of traditional concert hall. They're playing in a small bar in Chicago, right across the street from Wrigley Field, where the Cubs play baseball. The bar holds just a couple hundred people.
I couldn't be this close to the ballpark without singing Steve Goodman's song, City of New Orleans. Riding on the city of New Orleans. Waiting on a Sunday, Monday morning rain. 15 cars and 15 restless riders. Three conductors, 24 sacks of mail.
I wasn't really thinking about the business end of it at that point, and that, you know, this incredible legend, you know, both of them, people that have really given so much to the world of music, and they're playing in a little bar near Wrigley Field that I could ride my bike to and just walk in and be one of the first people there, right up to the front. And, you know, Johnny and June come out, and the opening piano theme is, you know, the I Walk the Line melody.
Tonight the Cubby Bear becomes a man. Please give a warm Chicago welcome to the Johnny Cash Show.
And I know this is emotion taking over, but in that moment, you know, I'm only about 15 feet from the stage. Johnny looked like he was about 100 feet tall and just glowed. The man had an amazing charisma and amazing presence. Things really start to turn around for Johnny Cash in 1992. Towards the end of the year, he plays at a huge Bob Dylan tribute concert in New York in Madison Square Garden. And Tom Petty is there, George Harrison is there, Neil Young is there. And it turns out that all of these 60s rock and roll players are big Johnny Cash fans. And Johnny is approached by a record producer named Rick Rubin, a guy mostly known for doing rap albums and heavy metal albums. And he really felt that Johnny still had something to offer. And he said, you know what? You just need to be Johnny Cash, sitting in a chair, just you and your guitar and your songs, and I'll record you like that, and let's see what happens.
When I came off stage, my manager, Lou Robin, came to me and said, there's a man here named Rick Rubin that said he would like to meet you, that has a record company, and he would like to record you. And I said, I don't want to meet him. I told him, bring him back. And so I went back, and there's Rick, and immediately I liked him. Mm-hmm. And I said, so if you had me on your record label, what would you do that nobody else has done? And he said, what I would do is let you sit down before a microphone with your guitar and sing every song you want to record.
All around the water tank, waiting for a train, 1,000 miles away from home, sleeping in the rain. I walked up to a brakeman just to give him a line of talk. He said, if you've got money, I'll see that you don't walk. Well, I haven't got a nickel, not a penny can I show. He said, get off, you railroad bum, and he slammed the boxcar door.
And they formed a really nice creative bond that lasted for the rest of Johnny's life, and they recorded a lot of music together. The American Album series starts with the recordings they do throughout the second half of 1993. The first album, American Recordings, comes out in April of 1994.
Back about 18 and 25, I left Tennessee very much alive. I never would have made it through the Arkansas mud if I hadn't been riding on a Tennessee stud. Had some trouble with my sweetheart's pa. One of her brothers was a bad outlaw. I wrote a letter to my Uncle Fudd, and I rode away on a Tennessee stud.
Tennessee stud. Bury me not on the lone prairie. Bird on a wire.
Like a bird on a wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free.
And there's a traditional murder ballad in Delia's Gone. There's an incredible ballad written by Nick Lowe called The Beast in Me.
The beast in me is caged by frail and fragile bars, restless by day and by night, rants and rages at the stars. God help the beast in me.
Nick Lowe had also written Without Love for Johnny Cash back in the 80s. He's married to Carlene Carter for a while, so he's part of the family. And the beast in me, what Johnny Cash does with that song is just tremendous. It's a fantastic record all the way around. There's songs by Johnny himself, by Kris Kristofferson, by John Lomax, by Tom Waits. It's an incredible start to a run of albums that's just going to wind up amazing everybody, getting incredible reviews. In some cases, like with the first album, it's making a best of the decade list.
In 1994, Cash releases the American Recordings album. This run continues in 1996 with American 2 Unchained.
One, two. 1, 2, 3, 4.
The lights in the harbor don't shine for me. I'm like a lost ship adrift on the sea. this sea of heartbreak, lost love and loneliness, memories of your caress, so divine, how I wish you were mine again, my dear. I'm on this sea of tears, sea of heartbreak.
The second album in the series is Unchained from 1996. Tom Petty provides a lot of the support on this record.
Melinda was mine till the time that I found her, holding Jim and loving him. Then Sue came along, loved me strong, that's what I thought, me and Sue. But that died too.
The next one comes in the fall of 2000, Solitary Man. Sometime around 1996, Johnny's health kind of catches up with him, and he stops doing live performances, and he really focuses on recording the series of records with Rick Rubin.
Don't know that I will, but until I can find me the girl who'll stay and won't play games behind me, I'll be what I am, a solitary man, a solitary man.
Now we get to the turn of the century, and in 2000 we get the third record in this run, which was called American 3, Solitary Man.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground.
By the time they get about four albums into this series, the rest of the world, the people that hadn't been thinking about Johnny Cash for a long time, really wake up and take notice.
What's that smell? Onions? Chili powder? Cumin? Juicy ground chuck? It's chili! Oh my God, I'm missing the chili cook-off! I'm missing the cook-off! It's
family recipes from my father, Johnny Cash's side, my mother's side also. Yeah, my father was a wonderful chili chef, and his chili is very robust. And
yeah, care for some chili? I've added an extra ingredient just for you. The merciless peppers of Quetzalcoatlanango. Grown deep in the jungle primeval by the inmates of a Guatemalan insane asylum.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
You know, it had a lot of depth of flavor to it. We have some ground meat, and there's also some ground round in there. And it's been sauteed with onions and with other seasonings, maybe a little bit of garlic. Now, this is ground beef. At that point, typically the next thing that I do is I will take these are diced tomatoes, and if just pour all those in. And of course, this mm-hmm. would be stirred up. And then I would, first thing I would do is I would start with the spices, because I want to know what my base chili is going to taste like mm-hmm. before I add, because it's got beans, before I add the beans in, because they have
dominant flavor. That's your chili powder, I guess.
This is chili powder. Now, one thing that I've found is important is I use the same amount of cumin as I do chili powder, pretty much.
Good idea.
Cumin, good idea. That's the way that my father did it.
Yeah.
But at that point, I would begin my flavorings, and this is oregano and sage, salt, and pepper. And then I would take my peppers.
Fear not, Homer. I am your spirit guide.
Hiya.
There is a lesson you must learn.
If it's about laying off the insanity peppers, I'm way ahead of you.
No, I speak of a deeper wisdom. The problem, Homer, is that the mind is always chattering away with a thousand thoughts at once.
Yeah, that's me, all right.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, I would cook this down probably for about another 5 minutes and sort of break down the water out of the peppers.
All right.
And then I would add the beans in. Now, I use a lot of different kinds of beans. And if you look here, there's black beans, kidney beans, pinto beans, great northern beans. But you can use whatever beans that you like. Or at that point, you've got your base chili. My father would add some water, and he would also add a little bit of sugar. I also find that chili, a lot of the time...
Now, is that brown sugar you've got?
This is brown sugar.
All right.
Yes, sir. But a lot of chili nowadays is too sweet to me. My father would... he would take, he didn't hardly drink any alcohol, but he would take a can of beer.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have been meaning to take a spiritual journey, and I would... Hey! Knock it off!
Sorry. I am a coyote.
Look, just give me some inner peace or I'll mop the floor with you.
Good. Your mind is in a state of readiness, so listen well.
And my father always used maize... cornmeal flour in his chili, sometimes self-rising. Now, what he would do to determine how much it was that he would put in a recipe that specific day, he would take chili powder in his hand and he would throw it. Also, onions, raw onions, and you sort of flatten this out, and then you add, these are Fritos.
Good old
corn,
Fritos.
Oil, and that's it, salt.
That's it.
Okay. And then put the cheese on top. Queso. All right. So what you have here is you have a Johnny Cash's Iron Pot Chili with a crusted top. And suddenly we take it, we put it in the oven.
For how long, John Carter?
400 degrees. You cook it until it browns on the top.
Uh-huh.
You already have very hot chili.
Yeah.
There's such diversity in this cookbook. It's not just Southern food. It's not just chili. My parents traveled the world. My mother, was a great fan of French cuisine and Italian cuisine. And my wife's a Cuban-American. And, her mother has taught me how to make these wonderful Cuban recipes. So it's a very diverse cookbook.
Clarity is the path to inner peace. A profound, mystical understanding.
The ring of fire. The ring of fire.
And then in 2002, we get the record that really redefines this period of Cash's life. And this will be the last album to be released during Johnny's lifetime. This one is American 4, The Man Comes Around. Now, why am I attaching so much emphasis to this particular album, especially when, you know, Jim and I can and have and will again speak about all of these records with absolute sheer awe in our voices? But the reason I think it's important to really focus on American 4 is because the first three records in this run, they hit numbers 23, 26, and 11. On the Billboard Country Albums chart. When The Man Comes Around is released in 2002, it goes not only to number two country, but just as importantly to number 22 pop. Now, of course, this is because of the cover of Hurt.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real.
2002, November. This is the fourth record in the series. It is the last one that comes out while June and Johnny are both alive. And this record is the one that really catches the world's attention. There's a cover of a Nine Inch Nails song called Hurt. And the video and the performance itself, it's just Johnny Cash one more time.
I am still right here. What have I become?
my sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end.
I enjoyed doing the Hurt video. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed doing that very much because I felt we were doing something worthwhile.
Yeah.
That it was something that was kind of special.
And you could have it all. My empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way.
Here to accept the Special Achievement Award for Johnny, his beautiful wife, June Carter Cash.
All right. Well, I come here tonight to thank you, most of you, for coming, but I come for my husband. I used to be just kind of an entertainer like a lot of you, but I married Johnny Cash a long time ago. I came to thank you for this. This is beautiful. I don't know what it is, but here it is. No, I do know what it is. They said it's really a nice kind of a award. I'll put this. This is for Johnny. And it's really, I guess, for the music video award.
But those first four records between 1994 and 2002, the American Recording Series, it's a extraordinary variety of songs written by Johnny and other people. It's a man and his guitar and his storytelling.
This was the old living room of Mother Maybelle's, where she and Aunt Sarah used to, well, they sung a lot of songs together here. The two of them singing in this living room, and Uncle AP coming in when he chose to, just a little bit now and then. It was a great time that we spent here with Mother, and sometimes I cry about it, but sometimes I try to sing about it.
In 2003, shortly before her death, June Carter puts out an incredible record called Wildwood Flower.
There's a church in the valley by the wildwood. No lovelier place in the dale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the dale.
Oh, come, come, come,
come, come to the church in the wildwood. Church in the dale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the dale.
June Carter Cash passed away on May 15th, 2003, at the age of 73, following complications from heart surgery. She left behind a legacy as a Grammy-winning artist and a vital figure in country music history. June, known for her collaborations with her husband, Johnny Cash, had a career spanning singing, songwriting, acting, and writing. Her contributions to the genre, including hits like Jackson and If I Were a Carpenter, earned her accolades such as Grammy Awards in 1967 and 1970. Despite her significant impact on country music, June's role is often overshadowed by other female pioneers. However, her influence remains undeniable as she blazed trails alongside her husband, leaving an indelible mark on the industry.
No, the circle won't be broken. By and by, Lord, by and by.
Daddy sing bass.
Mama sing tenor.
Me and little brother will join right in there.
In the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Johnny Cash is dead at the age of 71.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
That was all the man in black ever needed to say. The chiseled face, the rough voice, the songs about those who had it even worse than he did.
He stopped and walked into a bar and lay.
Johnny Cash climbed to the very top, selling more records than the Beatles by 1969, having started at the very bottom. Born in Arkansas, a sharecropper's son, he walked into Sun Records in Memphis with a high school diploma and a sound that touched the common man.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Life along the way was never easy. Arrested 7 times, crippled by addiction, fascinated by others who were in pain.
Like a drunk in a midnight choir.
I'm stuck in Folsom Prison.
I wrote Folsom Prison Blues one night after I saw a movie called Inside the Walls of Folsom Prison.
After a first failed marriage, Cash then married into country music royalty. His wife and singing partner, June Carter Cash, who died in May.
Oh, I'm going to Jackson.
Johnny Cash influenced scores of well-known musicians who today praise the man they so admired, including the very contemporary rock group Nine Inch Nails. It's his current video of their song called Hurt that will continue airing as his epitaph. In it, a music legend looks back at his life.
I would find a way. Oh, no, the circle won't be broken. By and by, Lord, by and by.
Daddy will sing bass.
Mama sing tenor.
Me and little brother will join right in there.
In the sky, Lord, in the sky.
So the American Recordings revival for Cash starts out when he releases American Recordings in 1994. Which is the album Jim talked about, where it's just Johnny on guitar and vocals, and that's all you need. In 1996, American 2 Unchained comes out, as was mentioned earlier. Both of those records win Grammys. Now, in 2000, we get the third offering, American 3 Solitary Man. And then it's 2002 when American 4 The Man Comes Around is released, and that's the one that absolutely blows up. And, you know, again, because of this cover of Hurt, suddenly everybody who is hearing the song that, you know, likes Nine Inch Nails is suddenly, to some degree, a fan of Johnny Cash. Just posthumously, the run continues. Now, the first album that comes out after Johnny has passed away is My Mother's Hymn Book. And that one has a pretty bland showing. It makes it to number 27 country. But then we get two more albums in that run that are more in the styling of the first four. We get American 5, 100 Highways, which makes it to number one country and pop in 2006. And then we get American 6, Ain't No Grave, which goes to number two country and number three pop in 2010. The last great offering from the Cash estate is 2014, when the non-American release, Out Among the Stars, which is released on the Legacy Recordings label, hits number one country and number three pop.
We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when. But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Please reach out to us at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com for our email.
Probably we could make this like a 4-hour episode where we just list all of our gripes with the music industry over and over again. But I think what I'd really like to focus on for this episode are the things where, you know, it shows that country is still alive.
If you look at the first 20 years of the 2000s, you see a lot of these legends that have passed away, but a lot of them, either through releasing new material like Loretta Lynn. Or live performance, people like Buck Owens and Michael Nesmith.
Tell me just one more time the reason why you must leave. Tell me once more why you're sure you don't need me. Tell me again, don't think you'll convince me.
A lot of these people were really working right up to the end. And, you know, again, it would seem so obvious for a program director at a radio station to be like, you know, well, holy shit, Loretta Lynn put out a record. She's in her 80s. We know she's getting close to the end. But damn, Van Leer Rose. Wow, that's an incredible record. And then she has at least one more really good one after that, right before she passes.
Well, I've been through some bad times, been on the bottom, been at the top. And I've seen life from both sides. It's what you make with what you've got. There's been times life's got me down. Pick myself up and bounce right back around. I wasn't raised to give up. And to this day, you know what? I'm still woman enough, still got what it takes inside. I know how to love, lose and survive. Ain't much I ain't seen, and I ain't tried. But I'm tender, wise, but I'm tough. And let me
fine enough.
So, yeah, this idea that radio is focusing on youth from a business, marketing, and a show-me-the-money type angle, yes, we get it. It's been happening for a long time. We understand. But you poor, deluded fools in the marketing and programming department, you know, these folks were working right up until the end, and the records they put out at the end of their life just as good as their classic material. You know, the music audience was buying these records. Rock and roll magazines like Rolling Stone are reviewing these records and handing out 4- and 5-star reviews in some cases. Right up until the end of his live performance days, Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash are still getting invited back again and again to the David Letterman show. Even Patsy Montana, who had passed away in the 90s, she was in her old age, and Letterman brought her out to do Cowboy Sweetheart because, man, it's Patsy Montana. If you can get her on the show, you know, Letterman, he had great respect for the classic musicians during his run on TV.
Way back in 1935, our next guest became the first country western singer to sell more than 1 million records. Her new album, which I have a copy of right here, is called Cowboy's Sweetheart, singing now the song that made her famous. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Patsy Montana, right here.
I want to be a cowboy's sweetheart. I want to learn to rope and ride. I want to ride all the plains and the desert, out west of the great divide. I want to hear the coyotes howling while the sun sets in the west. I want to be a cowboy's sweetheart. The life I love the best.
In recent years, in terms of award shows and record sales and just being a hit-making machine, it's a young woman named Miranda Lambert that's been really making the money and selling the records and winning the trophies over the last several years. There's still a lot of good music out there to go see live, to buy, to download, to borrow from your friends. Chase that dream, folks. There is incredible music out there.
And of course, folks, you can always reach us via email at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com with the number 6 spelled out. On Facebook, not only can you find our Facebook page, Six String Hayride, but literally an hour before we started recording, we created a Facebook group also called Six String Hayride. We would really like to engage more with our listeners, and that will be a great place to do it. So if you're looking in groups on Facebook, it is Six String Hayride, Classic Country Music and Beyond. Lastly, we would appreciate if you would go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com. Search up Six String Hayride, and you'll actually be able to become a financial supporter of the show. And I
thank you. So, folks, what do we do at this point, you know, to keep this music alive and well? You know, of course, yeah, share your records, share your tapes, tell your friends, tell your family. We all know that regular commercial over-the-air radio is not doing very much for classic country music or rockabilly or gospel or anything at this point.
It's that same song. The DJ sucks.
We know that some people might be limited by the details of their situation. If you are able to get a subscription service, SiriusXM, Spotify, Amazon, and Tidal, that's not Tidal like a sports thing, it's T-I-D-A-L, are all really, really good streaming services to, and it can be anywhere from $10 a month to a lot more. Of course, the simple thing you can always do is go on YouTube, just type in the name of the musician, and you will get a lot of songs and videos that come up.
So the first artist is Riley Green. He was born on October 8th, 1988. He's released two studio albums to date. In 2019, he released Different Round Here, and in 2023, Ain't My Last Rodeo. Some of the reasons I like this guy, well, first of all, he writes a lot of his own stuff. Check out Riley Green. You will not be sad. Tyler Childers. Here's someone else I think is pretty important. He's actually born on June 21st of 1991.
I will wait for you till the sun turns into ashes and bows down to the moon. I will wait for you. It's a long, hard war, oh, but I can grin and bear it, 'cause I know what the hell I'm fighting for, and I will wait for you. We were never made to run forever, we were just meant to go long enough to find what we were chasing after. I believe I found it here in your life.
Look, he's actually released seven studio albums, starting with Bottles and Bibles in 2011, and his most recent effort is called Rustin' in the Rain from last year. Things that I like about Tyler, well, first of all, I know there's a lot of purists out there that will try and say it can't be country unless there's fiddle and pedal steel. Good news, folks, Tyler's got fiddle and pedal steel in his band. I also think that listeners should check out In Your Love from his 2023 offering, Rustin' in the Rain. The video for this is incredible. It tells the story of two gay coal miners in the 1950s. Why is this important? Well, regardless of what anyone's own personal politics may be, I find this to be quite important because it fights the trope that country music is somehow inherently racist.
There's one thing I wanna know. Oh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Oh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
You know, this is somebody I didn't even really know existed until a short time ago, but Luke Combs. He's born on March 2nd of 1990. He's been recording since 2017, and he's got five records in that time, so he's a pretty prolific output. But the reason he suddenly, you know, came to my attention was that cover of Fast Car, the Tracy Chapman song that he did. First of all, it wins, you know, 2023 CMA Song of the Year. Regular listeners know how I feel about awards and award shows, so I wouldn't have known that particular fact under most circumstances. But I heard the song and I really liked the song. I liked the original song when it came out in the 80s. And I thought this was a fantastic cover. And then the award show for the 2023 CMA Awards happens. And that duet between Luke Combs and Tracy Chapman on Fast Car, that is one of the most moving performances I have seen in a long time.
I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was gone. City lights lay out before us. Your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone.
Thanks, Chris. It's always nice to get some good recommendations for some newer musicians to go and check out. If you are still leaning towards the older music, well, you can enjoy the fact that Carlene Carter and Roseanne Cash are still out there making records and doing live shows. Willie Nelson has musical children that are continuing his legacy. Waylon Jennings also. Hank Williams' grandson is out there for some time now making records and doing concerts. It's not so much a matter of regret that all of these great performers are gone. It's really a matter of celebrating all of the work that they left us and that we still have. Celebrate the old music, boldly go out there and discover the new music, and make sure that you keep telling your friends about every bit of it along the way. You never know who you're going to turn on to some really great music. And I think that kind of gets us to a nice idea here at the end. I'm going to borrow a little bit from that idea in the comics about your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I think everybody needs a friendly neighborhood country band. And for Chris and I, and for a lot of people in Wisconsin and the Chicago area and in Texas, and now certainly down in Lafayette, Louisiana, our friendly neighborhood country band is actually a punk rock band and a rockabilly band and a country and a little bit of everything band, the Winko Brothers.
Before he became a big ticket, that's when George
The legacy of the Waco brothers starts in the mid-1970s with a musician named John Langford. He is from Wales, and he starts a punk band at Leeds University in England called the Mekons. And in the 70s and 80s, the Mekons are a punk rock band with a real country kind of vibe underneath. And here in the Milwaukee area, then in the Chicago area, we've got a guitar player, songwriter, singer named Dean Schlobowski. Dean is an active member of the punk rock scene in Milwaukee and then in Chicago in the 1980s. Dean and John Langford meet up. They realize that one of their shared favorite things to do is just to sit around with a few drinks and a few guitars and revisit a lot of old country music. Dean is the biggest George Jones fan that I think anyone would ever meet anywhere. So Dean and John Langford go on to create the Waco Brothers. So if you're having hard times and you need some music that just cuts right to the soul, your friendly neighborhood country band, funk band, whatever the hell, they are a good band. The Waco Brothers. Again, as a unit, they're still from Chicago. Dean and his wife, Jo, have a wonderful solo career going. They have put out a really fine traditional record as their debut as a duo, and again, they're down in Lafayette, Louisiana. Aside from Dean and John, the Waco brothers are Tracy, Alan, Dan, and the fabulous Gene Cook on violin. They're a hell of a band. They play in small places for a few dollars. If you ever have a chance, go see them. They are really good. And, you know, they're in the present now, alive and well. You can go, you can sing, you can dance, you can drink, you have a good time. And you're also going to walk out of one of their concerts feeling an urge to go home and listen to your George Jones and your Hank Williams and your Johnny Cash and even the Clash and the Kinks and Tom Jones. I mean, Langford and Dean, these guys, they very easily credit Johnny Cash and the Kinks and Tom Jones and Black Sabbath. It's a beautiful gumbo of all kinds of music. Your friendly neighborhood Waco Brothers, you will not be disappointed. There's a future out there, folks, for country music. Go seize the day.
If you get a chance, please go see the Waco Brothers or go see Dino and Joe if they play anywhere near you, or any of John Langford's bands, the Bright Shiners, the Mekons, anyone who happens to come through your area, you go see them.
Now you won't see no sad and teary eye when I get my wings and it's my time to fly.
Call my friends and tell them there's a party, come on by. Now just roll me up and smoke me when I die. Roll me up and smoke me when I die. And if anyone don't like it, just look them in the eye. I didn't come here and I ain't leaving, so don't sit around and cry. Just roll me up and smoke me when I die.
Their records, their videos, everything that they made you feel with their music, all those things are alive and well and in our hands to do the right thing with. At the age of 77 in 2001, one of the greatest guitar players ever, Chet Atkins, passes away.
Can't emphasize enough that Chet Atkins, the player, I mean, the man is in a class by himself.
Also in 2001, very young, but again, an extraordinary guitar player, songwriter, singer, George Harrison dies of cancer at the age of 58.
Give me that plenty of that guitar.
I've been traveling on a boat and a plane, in a car, on a bike, with a bus and a train. Traveling there, traveling here, everywhere, in every gear. But oh Lord, we pay the price with the spin of a wheel, with the roll of the dice. Ah yeah, you pay a fare, and if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
In 2002, at the age of 64, one of the original Outlaws, the great Waylon Jennings, passes away. Waylon is 64 years old.
Well, I grew up on music we call Western Swing. It don't matter who's in Austin, Bob Wills is still the king.
A man whose name you probably don't recognize, but if you've ever listened to good music on a good stereo, and certainly a guy whose legacy takes up a lot of square footage here at Hayride World Headquarters, the mad scientist of speaker design, Paul Klipsch, dies in 2002. He is 98 years old. One of the founding fathers of rock and roll, the man who put Elvis, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, and a host of others onto tape and then onto record. Sam Phillips, the mad scientist of Memphis, Tennessee, he dies at the age of 80 years old.
His calling card read, "We record anything, anywhere, anytime."
You give a concert at a bar you own on your own property, then you go have a meal, and then you go to sleep and you die. In 2006, Buck Owens checks out in one of the coolest ways possible. He does a show. He has dinner. He goes on to meet St. Peter. Buck Owens is 76 years old.
Oh, my heart skips a beat when we walk down the street. I feel a trembling in my knees. And just to know you're mine until the end of time makes my heart skip a beat.
The Velvet Postle, the voice, and the man who is so determined to get what he wants out of life that he's going to ride a lawnmower there if he has to. In 2013, at the age of 81, the man with the most incredible voice and the flattest of heads, the great George Jones, passes away.
First time I'd seen him smile in years. He stopped loving her today. They placed a wreath upon his door, and soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her today.
In 2016, poet of the working man, one of the early Bakersfield sound guys, also a guy who really picks up the mantle of Woody Guthrie in terms of celebrating the culture of the people from Oklahoma that had so much hardship in their lives that they lost their farms and migrated to California. That story for a long time was in the hands of Woody Guthrie. Merle Haggard does an incredible version to really become a poet for that part of American culture. The guy was just amazing. He is 79 years old. He dies in 2016.
But I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working. Long as my two hands are fit to use. I'll drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues.
The guitar player from Sun Records, who made all those early Elvis records just come alive in such a way, Scotty Moore, Six String Samurai. He is 84 years old. He dies in 2016.
Well, it's bringing my baby. Cause she's my, oh, oh, my, she's my, oh, oh, my.
Shortly after, another of the great guitar players, Chuck Berry, is 90 years old when he dies in 2017. Biased because I'm a Chicago guy and I've seen him play quite a lot back in his time. One of the poets, certainly one of the great sense of humors in music, John Prine, is one of the early victims of the COVID pandemic. He dies in April of 2020. He is 73 years old.
Then as God is my witness, I'm getting back into show business. I'm going to open up a nightclub called the Tree of Forgiveness. and forgive everybody ever done me any harm. Why, I might even invite a few choice critics, those syphilitic parasitics. Buy them a pint of Smithicks and smother them with my charm. Cause then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm going to kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl.
The other great storyteller that comes up in conversation when you mention John Prine's name, Tom T. Hall, a really, you know, again, exceptional, brilliant storyteller. He is 85 years old. He passes away in 2021.
Well, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about.
Possibly one of the most underrated country musicians of the first half of the 1970s. People write him off as a pop guy because of that whole monkey thing from the 60s. But, oh, this guy could really write a hell of a song. He could sing them too. Michael Nesmith dies at the age of 78 in 2021. He passes away about 6 weeks after his last tour ends. So this guy was pushing it right up to the end. I'd seen him a couple times in 2019. Just extraordinary performer. And again, the catalog of songs that he wrote, vastly underrated, incredible stuff.
Hey, hey, mercy woman plays a song and no one listens. I need help, I'm falling again. Play the drum a little louder. Tell me I can live without her if I only listen to the band. Listen to the band. Weren't they good that made me happy? I think I can make it alone.
Yes, for Loretta Lynn, I think we've talked about this in the past. I don't remember if it was something that ever made it into an episode or not, but her death is one of the things that really inspired us to start pushing through to get the podcast into production. You know, it's one of our conversations through text was that, you know, Loretta Lynn has just died and it's not going to stop. They're not going to stop dying. And of course we've seen that as, you know, we've lost more and more folks over the almost 2 years we've been doing the podcast now. So her passing away, unfortunate though it was really one of the things that pushed us to stop talking about doing a podcast and to start actually doing one. So full credit to Loretta Lynn, the guardian angel of the hayride.
Walk a country mile to find her a good old slow talking country boy. I said a country boy. I'm about as old fashioned as I can be, and I hope you're liking what you see. Cause if you're looking at me, you're looking at country.
Thanks very much for going on the decade ride with us over these last few episodes. Chris is going to send you off with a cheer and a toast and a drink.
When Liberty Valance rode to town, the women folk would hide, they'd hide. When Liberty Valance walked around, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood. When it came to shooting straight and fast, he was mighty good.
Today's drink is the Liberty Valance. This one comes to us from the film The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, starring John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart. And liqueur used in this one is a Swedish liqueur known as aquavit. I'm not 100% sure if that's how to pronounce it, but I'm taking a stab at it. So for this one, you're going to need 2 ounces of aquavit, 1 ounce of dry vermouth, and a cocktail onion for garnish. You'll stir the ingredients with ice and strain into a cocktail glass and serve with
the bravest of them all. The love of a girl can make a man stay on when he should go. Stay on, just trying to build a peaceful life where love is free to grow.
I think now that we're paying our respects to all these people that have left us, it is definitely our job as an audience to make sure that this thing continues, that any other person, younger, older, whoever, your next door neighbor, the person who cuts your hair, somebody in the checkout line at the grocery, tell them about Willie Nelson. Tell them about Johnny Cash. Tell them about Maybelle Carter. And I think here at the Hayride just means to keep sharing this music with anyone who stands still long enough for you to holler at. It's not going away unless we as a music audience, a music community, behaves in such an isolated, at times arrogant way that we sort of paint ourselves into a corner and then become extinct. There is a reason that the rock and roll crowd has embraced country music for decades. Willie, Waylon, going all the way back to Carl Perkins. There is a reason that country music was such an incredible art form that bluegrass, western swing, rockabilly, and then all the cowboy music, that, you know, that's how prolific, that's how important country music as an art form has been. All of those things are the children of country music. So grab your records, grab your mixtapes, grab what, you know, if you have everything on a little thumb drive, and go out and spread the good word. As Bob Wills would say, stay a little longer.
I eat my baby right easy, right high in the saddle all day.
And your cooking ain't greasy,
we'll chuck the chuck wagon and we'll ride away.
If your lovin' is good
and your cooking ain't greasy,
we'll chuck the chuck wagon and we'll ride away. We'll chuck the chuck wagon and we'll ride away.
I'd like to remind you to email us at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com. Six is spelled out. You can also search us on Facebook as Six String Hayride. Or what we'd really appreciate you doing is finding us on Patreon under Six String Hayride as well.
Well, folks, thanks again for joining your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley, on the Six String Hayride Classic Country Podcast. We are here for all of your classic country, rockabilly, early rock and roll, little gospel, little blues, a lot of excellent country music-themed recipes, and basically, we are here to keep your musical circle rockin', boppin', and very much unbroken. So thank you for sticking with us. We will see you down the road real soon. And again, whether it's in your home, in your community, wherever it is you do your thing, keep your circle unbroken. Stay well, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
Oh, can the circle be unbroken by and by?
One of these days, and
join them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. No, the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.